Welcome, and it's good to see everybody this morning. I'd like to invite you to open your Bible to John, the fifth chapter. And the lesson is entitled today, Do You Want to Be Made Well? And it seems to be an obvious question when you look at that. But a miracle here is recorded of Jesus as the Gospel of John records key miracles that Jesus performed. And when in reading these miracles of Jesus, if we could have actually witnessed these, we would, I'm sure, our reaction being, now that's a miracle. There would be no question about it that a miracle took place here. And today, we sometimes see that people advertising miracles and yet not really performing any. And Jesus didn't ever advertise his miracles, and yet they were such obvious, true miracles when they were performed. In this case, we're going to read beginning in John 5, the first 9 verses, and then drop down to verse 14, the reading that Jim read earlier. And it said that after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now there was a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. In verse 14, it said that afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." I'd like to have you think about the fact that this infirmity that this man was suffering from had been for 38 years. He had been in this condition for 38 years. If we go back 38 years, that would be the year 1975. Some of the events of that year, to give us some perspective of just how long that is, the Watergate conviction of Robert Haldeman and John Ehrlichman was in January of 1975. There was the debut of The Wheel of Fortune on NBC. There was Super Bowl IX, the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Minnesota Vikings in New Orleans 16-6, and Franco Harris was the most valuable player. Space Mountain opened at Disneyland that year. The Jeffersons was a spinoff of All in the Family on CBS, and the UCLA Bruins won the NCAA basketball championship again for the 10th time in a row, I think it was, with Bill Walton. Margaret Thatcher was elected as the leader of the Conservative Party in Great Britain. Microsoft was founded by Bill Gates and Paul Allen here in Seattle. Carlton Fisk hit a dramatic 12th inning home run in the 6th game of the World Series. And but the next night, the Cincinnati Reds went on to win the series. And Gerald Ford was elected 38th president. But the most important thing that happened that year was a young couple who got married down in Garden Grove, California. And she was so beautiful, and she's even more beautiful today. But that really puts things in perspective to me, to think about 38 years, how long that would be for this man to be in that condition. And there are, down in California, the amazing redwood trees. And if you've never seen them, you would be amazed at the size of those trees. And yet, if you cut them and look at the cross-section of these trees, scientists who study them tell us that you can go back and look at the history of those trees. And you can see there that they could point out things like they say, now if you notice right here, there's a thin ring here. It is a year when this tree hardly grew at all because of a drought. And over here, there's a couple of thick rings that were healthy years, and the tree grew by leaps and bounds. Here's a spot where the tree was hit by lightning, and here was where there was a blight and a disease that struck through the trees of the forest. In a sense, the same thing could be said about us who are here this morning. We all come and we dress nicely, but there's a lot of us that, if we look below the surface, we're like those trees in that at various times in our lives, we've been injured. And we bear the scars of those injuries in one way or another. We may have been hurt by people. We may have had things said to us. We may have had failures. We may have had experiences through life that are still being carried around and that affect us in ways that we may not even understand fully how that is true. Here was a man that had been in this condition for 38 years. The Pool of Bethesda in Jerusalem was sort of like a health spa in those days, where people would go and they could get into the water and they felt like they could be healed by getting into the water. Whether that was true or not, we're not told. There was a belief that the angel would stir the waters and that the first person getting into the water would be healed. But here was a man that was lying beside the pool, and he had no way to get into the pool. And Jesus noticed this man. I think it's interesting that Jesus noticed him, that he was in a helpless condition out of all the people that were there. Jesus seemed to notice him in particular. And it is encouraging to me to understand that Jesus notices each one of us. And the needs that we have, I think, is indicated by this, how he is able to notice and care about an individual, even the least individual sometimes. But as Jesus came to this man here, he asked him what I think seems to be a crazy question. He asked him the question here, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And what kind of a question is that? You know, does a crippled man want to get well? That would be like when your dad or our dads would say to us, "Do you want to get a spanking? Do you want me to stop this car?" The answer to that is obvious. And yet, Jesus did not ask unnecessary questions. Jesus asked this question for a reason, I'm convinced. Here was a man that was in this condition. The Bible says that he had an infirmity. We don't know exactly what that meant, but it literally means a weakness in his bones, I believe. And if you have ever been around a person that has been in in bed for a long time or sitting in a chair, their muscles become weak and unable to be used. We don't know exactly the full extent, but this man had been in this condition for 38 years. And his question is, do you want to be made well? So it is a question of, does this man really want to be made well? It has been observed that invalids don't always look upon their invalidism as something that it would be better not to have, because you can get used to people taking care of you. And if a person did get well, now they would have to be responsible for themselves. Something that a lot of us in our society today don't like to do is accepting personal responsibility for our own actions. There's a counseling method that is often used that is called focus therapy. And that's when a counselor is interviewing a person and there's some complaint or something that this person keeps bringing up. The counselor will say, now what are you going to do about it? If you've ever watched or listened to Dr. Laura on the radio, she's great at this. She will put it right back in their corner. What are you going to do about it? And that's what many times people don't want to deal with. It's easier to say, well, can't my wife take care of this? Can't my mother take care of this? They want to put it off on someone else rather than accept that responsibility that is given to them. So the man answered him and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. This seems to be an excuse that this man was giving. And although we would feel sympathy for him in this condition, that he did not maybe have anyone there helping him at the time, the fact is that he did have Jesus, and Jesus was there to help him. The question Jesus was asking him was, do you want to get well? And his answer was, I don't have anyone to help me. But that didn't answer the question that Jesus was asking him. Today there are perhaps people here in this audience that the same question can be asked of each one of us. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be well? Whatever it is that is affecting you in your life, those hurts that you have, if you're crippled by those past hurts, do you want to be healed of them? If you have some sin in your life that you've been in bondage to this sin for a long time, do you want to be freed from this sin? If you are battling an addiction, do you want to overcome it? If you are not saved, do you want to be saved? Those are the kinds of piercing questions that Jesus was asking this man. And he needed to accept responsibility and stop making excuses for his life. So Jesus gave him an impossible instruction here, seemingly impossible. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. So there is the miracle that Jesus performed. But he put it to this man in a way, are you willing to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And it was at that point when he was willing to accept that responsibility that the miracle was done. Even though Jesus was the one who had all the power, this man was given some responsibility. And you and I are given responsibility for our lives today. That Jesus is available and Jesus is here and Jesus is able to help us. The question is, do you want to get well? Do you want to be helped? Snoopy was interviewed here. It was in one of the cartoon strips. He said this. He said, "Yesterday I was a dog. Today I'm a dog. Tomorrow I'll probably still be a dog. There's so little hope for advancement." This is the way a lot of people view their lives, I believe. That my life is never going to get any better. But how much of that is due to the fact that I'm not willing to take responsibility? I've gotten comfortable in being the way that my life is. And my life could be a lot better, and there is help available, but am I willing to accept it? Now, if ever there was a man who could have offered an excuse, it is Robert Reed. Robert Reed graduated from Abilene Christian University. His hands are twisted and his feet are useless. He cannot bathe himself. He cannot feed himself. He can't brush his teeth, comb his hair, or put on his underwear. His shirts are held together by strips of Velcro. His speech drags like a worn-out audio cassette because Robert has cerebral palsy. The disease keeps him from driving a car, riding a bike, and going for a walk, but it did not keep him from graduating from high school or attending Abilene Christian University, from which he graduated with a degree in Latin. Having cerebral palsy didn't keep him from teaching a St. Louis Junior College, teaching at a St. Louis Junior College, or venturing overseas on 5 mission trips. And Robert's disease didn't keep him from becoming a missionary in Portugal. He moved to Lisbon in 1972 by himself, rented a hotel room, and began studying Portuguese. He found a restaurant owner who would feed him after the rush hour and a tutor who would instruct him in the language. And then he stationed himself daily in a park near the hotel where he distributed brochures about Christ. And within 6 years, he led 70 people to the Lord. So here was a man who didn't accept or offer excuses to God. A pretty amazing story. The question Jesus asked to each one of us today is, do you want to be made well? He points directly to you and I and asks us, are we willing to accept responsibility? In Jesus, we have someone who can lift us into the pool, so to speak. Someone who is able to make us well, not only physically, or not necessarily physically, but even more importantly, spiritually. Jesus is able to heal us of those things that separate us from God and give us a godlike life. Second, we must decide if we want to be changed. As Jesus asked the question, do you want to be made well? We must decide not to keep making excuses. And then we must decide if we, like this man, are ready to act. Now, the question for each one of us to consider this morning is, are you a perpetual victim? In our society today, it seems that so many people are victims. They see themselves as victims. Rather than overcomers, rather than people who do not accept no, but go ahead and take responsibility for their life and want to get well, and therefore they take the necessary steps on their part to see that this happens. Victims, on the other hand, continue to repeat how they have been mistreated in their lives. And maybe they have been. There's probably no doubt that they have been mistreated in their lives. But they continue to repeat that over and over rather than being able to move past that. Victims live by the notion that life should be fair. And if something wrong happened to them in the past, they aren't able to forgive and go on and overcome that. Victims find it difficult to forgive others. And victims have difficulty maintaining close relationships because they have difficulty trusting other people. Are you or have you ever been beset by those types of thoughts in your life? Jesus is asking us today, are you willing to be made well? Do you want to be made well? Excuses really are well-planned lies. And if it is important to you, you will find a way to make it happen in your life. If not, though, you'll find an excuse. As we look at Jesus here in this passage, we find that Jesus challenges each one of us at a deeper level in our life, that it's time for us to do something to accept the help that Jesus is able to give. We must decide if we want to be changed. It seems to be a strange question to ask this man, and it's a strange question to ask us. Do you want to be well? But it requires that we accept responsibility for our lives. Secondly, we need to decide not to keep making these excuses that we sometimes have made. Something in the past has happened to us. The reason that we don't want to be a part of the church is because someone hurt me at some time in the past, or there is something that has happened there that is hindering me. It may be a moral issue, it may be a friendship issue, it may be a relational issue in your life. But instead of holding on to that, are you willing to be made well? That is the question that Jesus is asking each one of us. Now, after this, it became a part of a controversy that arose because this was on the Sabbath. And the larger context of John chapter 5 is where Jesus is dealing with the religious leaders in response to that question, why did he heal this man on the Sabbath day? But in the midst of that, Jesus went and sought out this man in verse 14, and he found him in the temple, and he said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And I believe this points out to the fact that Jesus is really more concerned about deeper issues than the physical healing. That the miracle that he performed on this man, he was more concerned about his life and his relationship with God. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. What would that be? Is Jesus referring here to the fact that if you live and die in a lost condition, you're going to spend eternity in hell separated from God? Or something else might happen that would even be worse than this affliction. But if he will live his life in thanksgiving to God and turn his life over to Christ and over to God, he can have a new life. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things are done away, all things are made new. Jesus is able to give us a new life today. If we're willing not to carry around the griefs and the blames that we have that hold us back, are we willing to accept this cleansing and this making of us well that Jesus is able to provide for us through the gospel? We're going to stand and sing the invitation song today. If there are those here who need to respond to Jesus this morning, come to him believing that he is the Son of God, that he is able to forgive us of our sins because of his death on the cross. Repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, and be baptized into Jesus for the remission of sins. That's what people were told in the New Testament that they were to do. On the day of Pentecost, when people heard the gospel being preached by Peter on that first day of Pentecost, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 37. And Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We can receive the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ if we're willing to come to Him. And if you're subject to that this morning, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.
We read of the wicked
call heaven, it's made for the pure and the free.